Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 560th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today using promo code SGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter our bonus contest. 5 winners will receive shirts, hats, and a $50 SGPN gift card. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 516 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode is going out to my mommy, whose birthday is today. Thank you for coming to the show. I can close the Rancho Cucamonga tab app open. Gumby and I were doing some geography before the episode. Thanks for coming to the show. We're going to talk MMA, talk about an amazing event last night. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. We both did okay with our picks last night, but Gumby beat me once again. He's having himself a year, this Gumby man. Interesting fight night. And I would have won if it wasn't for Surmise, I don't know what you call someone from wherever Jairzinho Rozenstruik's from. Surinamese. If it wasn't for a Surinamese MMA fighter, I may have beat Gumby. Actually, it wasn't really him that won the fight. It was someone who lost it. But we'll get into all that. Let's bring in the man of the hour who lost a little less than I did last night. It's Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
So before I start going defending Jairzinho Rozenstruik and your bad mouthing of him just now, I'm just going to remind people, because when I remind people at the beginning of the episode to do this, it worked way better. Just click subscribe. It's right below my beautiful face if you're watching on YouTube, because that helps us out immensely. And if you don't want weird notifications popping up all the time or my face coming up all the time, that's fine. Just turn notifications off. We don't even care because we're looking for the subscription, not the notification. It'll change your life. Nothing at all to hit that button for us. So please just do so. If anything, it makes it better. Definitely not going to make it worse. Because then you'll get cool takes like this one, where I told you that there was no way that Shamil Gaziev had the wrestling to take down Jairzinho Rozenstruik. And I stand by that, because his wrestling stinks. It's not good at all. And I think Rozenstruik is sort of underrated in his abilities, both in his boxing, right? Like, he was a pretty talented kickboxer before he came over to MMA. And I think his takedown defense is legitimately good. And I don't mean like was good enough to be a fat, slow heavyweight who was looking to quit last night. I mean, I think his takedown defense might legitimately be good. I said he stuffed Curtis Blaydes a few times in their fight, which is a, you know, kind of a high barometer for him. I mean, he made Gaziev headbutt the cage. I think that's up there as one of my favorite moves of all time, especially one of my favorite moves during the top first 10 seconds of a fight. Because, man, it doesn't get any weirder than that. But like, every time Gaziev was in on a single, he broke the hands, he stopped the foot, he, you know, brought the clinch back up towards his chest so that he didn't have to fight the legs anymore. Like, he did everything technically proficient, if not great. So between that and his jab and his cardio, which I mentioned on Thursday's episode, the dude has insane cardio for a dude who's shaped like that. I know we haven't even officially gotten into breaking down this fight, but I think that was an expert performance by Jairzinho Rozenstruik. That's my take.
So how are you, Gambi? We haven't even started the episode
yet. I'm great.
Yet.
Look at you. Here you go. Great. I'm great because Rozenstruik won. Yeah, the night started off kind of shoddy. Yeah, yep. that night started off kind of shoddy, but the main card ended very nicely for me, especially when plus 140 cashes in the, and he was actually higher come fight time. He was like plus 160.
Yeah. I figured making picks on every fight and betting the same amount, I knew it was not going to be a profitable night in that regards, because it was just far too chalky of a fight card. I wasn't in on enough dogs, and we had, what, three dogs come through, which is, you know, about what you would expect for a card this size. But only one of our combined dogs came through, which was Gumby's Rozenstruik pick. Yeah, you said a lot of what you just said now, you said heading into the fight. So it's not one of these after the fact things too. You talked about Rozenstruik's defensive wrestling. And I agreed that Gaziev was a unproven commodity heading into the fight. So, but I still thought he would be able to beat Rozenstruik, because Rozenstruik basically is one of those guys who doesn't throw. He's a store brand version of Derek Lewis. But you know, he did enough to win. Gaziev has no cardio. He doesn't have a mouth guard that fits.
I think he has a mouth guard that fits. I think he was spitting it out. I think he couldn't breathe. And I'm also going to say, you're right. It usually seems like Rozenstruik doesn't throw enough, but man, did he throw that jab. Like, that jab just had Gaziev 9 different kinds of bloody. So, like, good for him. I think we were quick to write off a guy who has beaten lots of decent up and coming heavyweights in his life and is pretty much only lost to like the very best of the division every single time. You know, like, he's lost to the Jelton Almeidas and the, you know, tippity top guys. But apart from that, you know, Francis Ngannou, he's not really out here losing to the Shamil Gadzievs and the Chris Daukauses.
Yeah, I look forward to him losing his next fight, because that's basically what's going to happen. He's going to get a step up and he's going to lose.
But how? But like, what's a step up?
Because he's already a main eventer.
the name you just mentioned makes perfect sense for me. Why not Derek Lewis? Would you pick him against Derek Lewis?
No.
I don't know. I think I might. Because here's the thing: he doesn't overcommit and he doesn't get hit by like
definitely doesn't overcommit.
But that's my point: is that like the people who get beat by Derek Lewis are the people who like wind up big on punches and find themselves off balance. Was he ever out of place once last night? Like, other than getting taken down by an overly muscled takedown by, like, I think somebody in the Discord called him a bridge troll. apart from being taken down by the guy who looks a little
you
bit like
him
a
fat
bridge troll.
Now he's a bridge troll.
He's not really fat. He's fat.
You called him fat. He's more, maybe a little sloppy.
He's loose chunky.
15 pounds.
He's loose chunky. Let's bring back
maybe
loose 15 chunky.
Pounds. He'd be good. Loose chunky. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back for a title too.
Yeah, that's loose,
for 2024. We're bringing back loose.
2024 loose chunky.
2024 loose chunky is the title. Gumby just named it. Gumby's just on fire today. All it took was a Jairzinho Rozenstruik win for Gumby to be let loose and take over the episode. So you're pretty excited about that amazing TKO retirement. He knew what he was doing. If you say you can't see, the fight's going to get called. And he said, I can't see. So, okay. Fight's over. You don't want to fight anymore.
He was looking for an out. I don't speak the language that he was speaking.
You speak a lot though. You should learn that one.
I do not know any.
It's Russian, I believe, is the language. Is it not?
I think so. I was almost gonna say
you don't
want to
commit,
and then I was like, yeah. Then I was like, yeah, but he trains out of Bahrain, and I don't know.
If oh, really? Okay.
But I think it's like one of those like the like Kingdom of Bahrain is like paying to have fighters quote unquote train out of there.
Yeah.
So I think he's like one of those guys.
What language do they speak in Bahrain?
No, even come close to know the answer to that. That's why I backed
official
off.
Official language of Bahrain is Arabic. Okay. You can tell the difference between Arabic and Russian. They're talking Russian.
I think so. I think that was Russian. So we're going to officially commit. That was Russian. I don't speak any Russian. I wouldn't be surprised if he told his corner he wanted out. Not that he couldn't see.
Maybe.
I wouldn't be. Conspiracy. And again, I have no way of knowing. But I'm pretty sure his corner was just trying to talk him into going back out there. And also, I can't stress this enough, what negligent corner work that was. Because what reasonable path to victory at that time did Shamil Gadzhiev have in that fight? He already had lost enough rounds on the judges' scorecards that he could not win. He had lost, he could still win one judges' scorecards because there was one idiot in there who had it 2-2.
I thought he could have won the second round as well. So that wasn't a crazy scorecard. I wouldn't call him.
It was as crazy as the 4-0 scorecard for Rosenstreich, which there was also one of those in there.
Yeah.
The 3-1 was probably the correct one. It was according to the judges' scorecards. If we had open scoring at that point, we would have known it was finish or bust for Gadzhiev. And I think their corner could reasonably expect he probably needed to finish. And the dude was so winded he couldn't finish a sentence. So, what is he going to go in there and do that was going to make it matter in that fight? He hadn't been close to a takedown in 15 minutes. Like, not even close to a takedown in 15 minutes. He was bleeding out of his nose profusely. He had been jabbed 785 times. Like, what are you trying to convince him to go back out there for? And don't get me wrong. Like, he was mostly just tired and sick of being jabbed in the face. So, like, I get if you're trying to encourage him because he, like, isn't out of it. Like he hasn't been knocked unconscious, but also like if his will is not there, like trying to talk that guy into finishing that fight is wild to me.
Yeah. Well, we probably talked too much about that fight. How many people are still watching or listening at this point after that fight? Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I loved it. I'm just saying I loved it. I was a big fan of that fight.
that's what I was watching. I'm like, this is what the UFC wants to showcase to the world. This is their they're saying this is the best we got tonight. These two guys right here, check it out. It's amazing. Like, and the whole time they were shoving down a throat that we're gonna have another heavyweight fight night coming up in 2 weeks. Like, that's not something you should advertise, really. Tuivasa versus Tybura, you should kind of keep that quiet. It's better than last night's matchup, but still, that's not really something you want to talk about.
I think the difference for me in that one is they're just gonna go for it. You know what I mean? Like, Tai Tuivasa doesn't hold back. Tai Tuivasa just throws recklessly. And, like, Marcin Tybura, if he is going to win that fight, and I haven't really thought about it too much until you just mentioned it.
How could you not? They talked about it all night last night. John Anik, every other word out of his mouth.
I mean, I was still thinking about Lockdog's knee, to be completely honest with you. I pretty much thought about that from the minute it happened until the end of the fight card.
Yep, that is true. All right, that was that. Oh, and we had John Anik last night. As was it Kaposa that tweeted it? I mean, weird how John Anik does a UFC Apex card, which originally was supposed to be in Saudi Arabia, but it wasn't really supposed to be in Saudi Arabia, according to Dana White. So weird, right?
Yeah, weird.
I butchered all that, but you understand what I'm saying.
I knew what you were saying.
Last night's card was supposed to be in Saudi Arabia. The story of Saudi Arabia did not want it because it was such a garbage card on paper. And Dana White claims, no. But that wasn't the case. And then lo and behold, John Anik's doing an early morning Apex card out of the blue. So anyhow, let's move on, shall we? I'm going to tell you about a sponsor first, shall we? We shall. Underdog Fantasy, our good old friends at Underdog Fantasy. Gumby and I are in on that. We're always checking out the site. We're always writing articles. Underdog, every day you get an Underdog Fantasy article written by either Gumby or myself. And I think people do other sports too on our site as well. So check it out, sportsgumbypodcast.com. But definitely check out Underdog Fantasy. It is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. All you got to do is pick higher or lower on a stat total in an upcoming game. And voila, you can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's pretty good. So sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with the promo code MMASGPN The other shows are beating us, getting signups. I appreciate anyone who has used our code to sign up, but we need more. We want more, damn it. MMA SGPN, you get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. So it's a win-win for you and for us. What else? I already told you about that. And you can also, as well as an instant pick 'em special you get, plus what else can I have to tell you about? You have to be 18 or over. I assume most people watching and listening are probably 18 or over and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org. This is a fantastic ad read, Gumby. I'm not even done it yet. I'm butchering it left and right. There you go. Like the lady at the concert. Good job. SGPN is teaming up with Underdog to give you even more of a bonus. Sign up between now and the end of the month, and five winners will receive an Underdog hat, Underdog shirt, and a $50 SGPN gift card so you can actually dress like me today. I'm wearing all SGPN gear. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter the contest for your chance to win. I think all that Rosenstrike Gaziev talk has scrambled my brain, Gumby. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We can move on now. Let's move on. Light heavyweights. Maybe we got a prospect here. Maybe we have something in Vitor Petrino. Who's to say? He took care of Tyson Pager, sent him into retirement. Can't wait to see his next fight. As Sean Sheehan likes to say at Severe MMA. Anyhow, Petrino won 33-7, 33-7, 29-28. Pretty much was in control the whole fight. We have Petrino at minus 300. Not as good as your plus 140 hit, but we'll take a win.
Yeah, I will. I'll say with Petrino, it's interesting because usually when we see these prospects start to move up the ladder a little bit, we see them get a little bit more worried, a little bit safer approach. And he did that here. And it just, like, of course, begs the question, is like Tyson Pedro the person who you should start being safe? Because, you know, like, let's look at Jack Della Maddalena as a set, right? Because we're going to talk about him on Thursday's episode. When Jack Della Maddalena took a step up and he started fighting, you know, like some of those people who are in the top 15, we started seeing a slightly safer version of himself to try to preserve himself. And you're like, okay, well, yeah, no, he fought a top 10 guy. And you're like, okay, that's the time we start taking it a little lighter, or a time we start being a little bit more careful. But he didn't take it lighter when he fought Randy Brown. And that's kind of what this fight felt like. This was his Randy Brown fight.
Randy Brown's even better, actually. So yeah, this is probably even less.
It's light heavyweight. Randy Brown's better than most of them. So, it's sort of like that time where you're like, is it the right time for Petrino to be taking the foot off the gas? I don't know, but all the raw tools are there, and you know, to the broadcast point they made a couple of dozen times, it's like it is only his 11th pro fight, and he had almost no amateur career to speak of. So like, he is learning on the job a little bit. So maybe he takes away from this. I don't know. But like, obviously he's got the tools.
Yeah, his physique reminds me of like looking in the mirror pretty much every day. I'm like, wow, that guy's built just like I am. He's yeah. pretty good. Do you have any? I know it's light heavyweight, and he's probably right on the brink of the top 15 now because there's really not much quality or quantity in light heavyweight. There's really not that many fighters. Do you have a fighter in mind for him next, or are we not?
I think he nailed it. I think he nailed it with his post-fight call-out, calling out Anthony Smith. Like, it just seems like
that's a big step up, but that's someone, yeah, name-wise is a big step up, but yeah, that's someone he could take care of, I think.
Big step up, guy who's on the decline, guy who is dangerous enough where, like, he might have to use some of those same similar be careful approaches, but probably has the power to put away. Like, yeah, it just makes sense on so many different fronts. So, yeah, I'm all for that. Matchup with Anthony Smith
All right. I don't see why he would be though. I wouldn't be. Moving on, flyweights. This was a good fight. Alex Perez may be back. Hopefully he can get some more.
Was this a good fight?
It was wait a minute. No, this was not a good fight.
Thinking of the Usyk one, man.
Yes. Mohamed Mulkayev did not look good in this fight. This is the fight where he kept dropping down, looking like he was getting hit, but really he was trying to get a takedown. Yeah, this was a
kind of trying to get a takedown.
Yeah, this was not a good fight. Alex Perez looked better. Well, he looked good because he actually showed up for a fight, which was a step in the right direction for him. He did lose his second or third fight in a row. Anyhow, Mukhaev won 29-28. Mukhaev is one of those undefeated fighters who does not always look good, though. He's always finds a way to win. We'll give him that, which is that's a skill that you do have to have, especially as you move up the ladder. But yeah, he did not look good. I take all of that back. I remember him and his horrible, almost like desperation to wrestle, despite doing good on the feet. It wasn't really good fight IQ as well.
He looked like he was dropping down to take a dump in the middle of the cage, which, by the way, segues into my next point. He talked about being sick after the fight. He's like, I deserve this title shot now because even though my performance sucked terribly, which I think we could all agree on, he was like, I was sick. And if that is the case, let's just say we can trust him, which, by the way, we sort of can. He also shared a picture of what appeared to be, I don't know if it was throw up or, yeah, did you see it?
No, it wasn't toilet bowl for real.
Oh, yeah.
I was joking.
Yeah. He like tweeted out a picture. He was like, this was only 48 hours before I fought. And it was like, I'm not sure if it was puke or if it was something else. But the point is that I had to look at it and analyze it. And the best is then like Joshua Van, God bless Joshua Van, great up and comer in the flyweight division, is like, dude, you don't have to tweet that at us. We trust that you might
TMI, right?
It was just like one of those things where he's like, this is a bad performance. I know it was a bad performance. I hope somebody realizes I had diarrhea. But here's my point, though. Let's say you did. Let's say you had a terrible fight camp. You were not prepared for this fight physically. You went in there, you put on a bad performance on a guy on a long layoff who hasn't won since Nam. Like, there's
pretty much, yeah,
no reason to try to attempt a 10-week comeback to fight on a
It would UFC 301, right. Yeah,
so he's trying to get the 301 headliner. So let's say all that stuff is true and we can excuse your bad performance and still give you a title shot off of it. We can't 10 weeks later, because even if you're feeling better now, you got to imagine there's some recovery time coming after that fight. You know, his body didn't feel good 48 hours ago. I can't imagine it feels good this morning when we're taping this here on Sunday. Like, why would we turn around and give you a title fight 10 weeks later? Like, that's not a good start to a 10-week training camp to fight a guy, which, by the way, if Alex Perez is stuffing your takedowns, let me tell you what kind of shot you have against Alexandre Pantoja. It ain't good. It's bad. Yeah. And I put a tweet up just out of curiosity, how many people would pick Mohamed Mukhaev to beat Steven Usyk after last night? And you know, got the usual amount of, you know, responses I did, you know, it was something like 50 or something like that responses on Twitter. And it was like 52% of people would pick Mukhaev, which is like, you know, good. People think Mukhaev could beat Steven Usyk after last night. But my point is, that's a toss up. And if you're feeling sick to start your only 10-week training camp, which is a short training camp for a title fight to begin with, You do not want to be fighting Alexandre Pantoja at the end of that quick training camp.
Yep. All right. Who is? This is pretty much what we're right down where they have to get an opponent for him at this point, right? There's not.
So
like it's who's it going to be, Gumby, is what I'm trying to spit out.
So my opinion right now, and I said this to Ryan H., who shout out to Ryan H. He's been sort of like stuck in Discord limbo, and he's been having to DM me until he could get his number.
Why? Did you talk to the bosses about it?
Did I? He says it's a larger Discord issue. So shout out to Ryan H. He'll be back, I believe, in like 7 to 10 days. But I said it to him. I said, look, we've got four guys in the flyweight division right now who all could probably claim that they deserve a title shot, but have a big question. Is Amir Albazi healthy enough to fight for the title? Can Manel Cape make weight? Is Mohamed Mokaev or Steven Ersig ready to make that step up to fight somebody like Pantoja? And so all four of them have questions. Mm-hmm. Why not just give the quick turnaround title fight to Brandon Royval and let these other four duke it out? Because at this point, that's kind of what I think should happen. Brandon Royval showed that he was a little bit better against Brandon Moreno. This is probably his last shot at fighting for the title. So just give him his last shot at the title and let all of these guys answer their questions on whether they're actually ready. Plus, then you're not taking a guy like Ersig or Mokaev or Albazi or, I mean, any of those four, and making them waste their first title shot on a short camp at a time they're not ready. You know, if anybody's going to waste their short camp and maybe not be ready, at least let it be a guy who kind of squandered that chance in the first place and is getting a last second chance in the second place. Like, let this be Royval's second in kind of like, you know, deserved chance, but not like overwhelmingly deserved a chance, and let the other ones duke it out.
Sounds good to me. You know what else sounds good, Gumby? Hall of Fame bets. You win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Start all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have a value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, so that was that fight. Bantamweight fight, Umar Nurmagomedov got his scare by Bekzak Almakhan. It looked like a glancing blow in the first round, but it was enough to knock down Nurmagomedov. Ring his bell. He was scrambling from there, but he still, despite all of this, he won 30-25, 30-26, 30-26, because that's how dominant his wrestling is. We had Umar at minus 1,200, but obviously there's, you know, got to have some question marks have to pop up now, and that he's actually been rocked in a fight by a virtual unknown.
Yeah, I think the virtual unknown's better than we think he is.
Well, we kind of said that going in, or you said that going right?
Yeah, his scrambles look good, but he's, you know, to my point, he's been a guy who's sort of relied on being a better wrestler and faster than everybody he's fought. Mm-hmm. Suddenly he's against Umar Nurmagomedov, and it's hard to be a better wrestler or faster than him. So, you know, Umar, it's just time to fight the Corey Sandhagens of the world. And I hope he gets somebody like that, or maybe the winner of, what is it? Song Yadong and Piotr Jan are fighting this weekend. Maybe the winner of that, like, would be a good one for, but like it's got to be one of these like top guys by now.
I was wondering where Piotr Jan went. I forgot he was actually fighting in a few days, so that's good. And then the opener, we got all these right, of course. Our opener, Steve Ersik, looked really good against Matt Schnell. No more as a grappler, he took care of it with a very vicious knockout punch 26 seconds into the second round. So if Ersik's going to start sleeping dudes on the feet, look out, flyweights.
I completely agree. He looked really dangerous, and he's long. He's super long too for that division, which makes it hard. I'm trying to remember who it was because now I'm going to feel bad remembering. Maybe Drake
say it
Riggs.
Was me if it was smart.
It might have been Drake Riggs on Twitter, who's I'm a fan of. Said that it looked like the Carlos Condit Dan Hardy knockout. Which it kind of did. Like, they both threw matching hooks, and like one of them landed with
one got there first.
Yeah, one and with twice as much power, yeah. Right? But yeah, no, Ersig looks like the real deal. I mean, obviously, I was just talking about him in title shot contention after a type of fight like this. And Schnell's a big step up. Is it the hugest step up? No, he's got to fight one of those Albazi cape type guys next. I kind of like the idea of him against Manel Cape next in Albazi versus Mokaev if they decide to go that way, mostly just because I like Albazi's wrestling and I want to see how that plays with Mokaev. And both Cape and Ersig just being like devastating strikers I think would be a lot of fun. So yeah, Ersig, I mean, super incredible. Haven't picked against him yet since he's in the UFC, and certainly won't be anytime soon.
Nope. If he's got some power, only 27, so he could be even picking up even more power. Go ahead.
Yeah, did you catch what the referee Chris Tione said to Matt Schnell afterwards? Did you see that in the Discord?
Yeah, he's basically clowning on him for having his head bounce off the canvas.
He told him, I don't, just for anybody at home who didn't hear this, he walked up to Matt Schnell after the fight and he said, I don't know what was louder, the way he hit your head or the way your head hit the mat. And he laughed and then he patted on the back and he goes, you'll see in the replay.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah, just keep this. Yeah, if you got nothing nice to say, but I don't think he knew. I don't think he
clued. No, he looked out of it.
Read the room, bro. No, I don't think the ref Tione didn't.
Oh, like, yeah,
read the room, bro. Read the room. Not a good thing to say. I went 4-1 on the main card, which was nice. Gumby, he swept it 5-0, including the big underdog hit. That's why he's smiling. All right, prelims. The middleweight fight, actually, middleweight main event, the people's main event, actually was a better fight than what we originally thought it would be. Eric Anders did win, like I predicted, over Jimmy Pickett, 29-27, 29-28, 29-28. Gumby just basically played Pickett for fun because he didn't like the number on this fight. So Pickett retired as well.
Yeah, you can't pick Eric Anders at -400 against anybody in the UFC.
I did, but yeah, Pickett did the "you can't fire me, I quit" routine. He's retired. Bantamweight fight, Lock Dog. Boy, what a debut for him! Double bonus debut for this man. Fight of the night and performance of the night. Vinicius Lock Dog Oliveira knocked out with a flying knee Bernardo Sopai, who looked very good in the first round, and then he remembered, and people watching home remembered, oh, this is a short notice fight for this guy and his UFC debut, because he got a little tired out. He was getting peppered with strikes. Anyhow, flying knee knockout, 441 in the third round. It looked like he had a broken neck when he went face first into the canvas and was down there for quite a while. We presume he's still alive. Locked out, definitely still alive, and his bank account is probably more alive than it's ever been after that win.
Yeah, so a couple of things. First of all, I think we got to give a little bit of credit for the way that Sopai tired out to Vinicius Oliveira, because the pace that dude sets is incredible. And you can swing as hard as you want, and it seems to not do any damage to this guy. He's so freaking tough. So tough, such good pace, like such good cardio. Is he the cleanest striker? Hell no. But is he, like, you know, the best kind of wild? Definitely. That knee was incredible. You know, Sopai felt like a video game character does. You know, he looked like a character off of like UFC 2 when they'd all fall in like weird angles and stuff. Like it was just, you know, what a performance by Lock Dog. Nice to see him get the 100K. That's probably the front runner for knockout of the year right there. I know we're only, you know, 2 months in, but that's going to be the one to tack up on the board and try to beat all year long, because I don't know that anything's going to look better than that.
The knee really wasn't even super necessary, as Jorge Masvidal would say, because basically he was getting rocked as it was, and the knee pretty much was the icing on the cake there. So yeah, very nice hit for us.
It
too,
probably was worth it for an extra 50K, though.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. You got to finish the fight. So we had him at -115. We missed the next one, but I don't think we were totally sad about missing the next one, because our boy Ayman Zahabi got a big win, maybe probably the biggest win of his career, because he knocked off an undefeated fighter, Javid Basharat, 29-28 across the board. Basharat looked like Basharat in the first round, and then Zahabi put it on him the rest of the fight. Was stuffing his grappling attempts and piecing him up on the feet. So Bashrat is no longer undefeated. Maybe even more disturbing is he thought he won the fight, which I can kind of get when you're in the heat of the moment of the fight. Maybe after you watch his film, he'll realize he did not win the fight. It wasn't a bad decision by any means. And a big win for Zahabi. Hopefully he can get another fight like in a couple months and keep this going. Not one fight a year.
Yeah, I will say, you know, like, while I think the right call was made too. I think Zahabi won the seconds and third rounds here, but I do think that this was one of those fights where not really a lot of people, there wasn't really a lot of going for it. You know what I mean? Combat Press scored the fight for Bashrat, by the way, not our guys.
Yeah, I saw. Press. I saw.
yeah, like I don't think he won this fight in retrospect, but the second and third rounds were close because the thing is, this was not a big volume round either way. So you had to weigh it by who hit harder. And that always seems to be Zahabi. Like he seems to have that like late career, big power. So I could see why, you know, Bashrat could be like, oh, we landed the same amount of things. I don't know why they wouldn't score it for me. But the part that bothers me about this, at least in terms of Bashrat losing, is I had him ranked as like a very nice prospect all along. And there just doesn't seem to be urgency there. And now that he's fighting people who are a little bit better, you know, I think on Wednesday when we broke down the fight, I said he's really hard to hit. Like he's just really smart in the way that he gets out of range. He fought somebody a touch better and no longer was he really all that good at that. And maybe I just overrated it the whole time, or maybe he just doesn't think he has to do more than that. But like, he's so talented. So to do so little with that talent in the fight, it's just like kind of a huge bummer. But to your point, like Zahabi, dude, he's probably a top 15 bantamweight now. What is that? Five in a row and beat Javid Bashrat. Like almost be silly not to put him in the top 15.
Well, are you putting him in your top 15 or not, Gumby?
I haven't submitted my rankings yet, but I think so. Yeah. Like I had Javid Bashrat in the top 15 before now. I know he wasn't officially ranked, but he was on my card. So for him to lose to that guy, and then, I mean, Zahabi's on the same exact winning streak he was on, and only now he's beat Bashrat. So, like, I'm going to have to look at whoever I would have put 16 and 17 and see if they have a better claim than Zahabi, but it's going to be hard to rank somebody ahead of him right now.
Yep, keep going, Zahabi. Keep fighting. Get some more fights booked. Christian Leroy Duncan beat my only underdog I had, and my underdog did not look good here at all. Duncan didn't even try. Well, he couldn't figure out the range, apparently. Claudio Hibiero did not look good. TKO elbows and punches by Christian Leroy Duncan, 157 in the second round. This was the fight where the ref wanted to see if Hibiero could die or not in the cage, right? Was this not the one?
No, that's the first. No, I mean, that one, but also the first fight. Yeah, the first fight,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I'm going to chalk this up to Hibiero. As soon as he was like, I'm going to throw the two big punches that I have in me and they didn't land, he was like, well, how can I lose this quicker? Well, better go belly down. There's nothing to say here. I'm still not high on a CLD as a prospect. I think he's going to get beat by somebody who can box.
All right. We'll see. Gumby's still a hater, even after his aggression and everything. But yeah, Hibiero's not a huge feather in your cap beating him. Plus, we're salty that we had Hibiero. Ludovic Klein looked the way we hoped he would look. Poor AJ Cunningham making his UFC debut on, a week's notice against a guy like Ludovic Klein. He pieced him up, just nonstop assaults to not just the head, but the body as well. Ended up winning with like a deep kick to the body and punches, 436 into the first round. We had Klein at a big like minus 800 or something ridiculous like that. Yeah, minus 800.
Yeah, big surprise. Guy who lost his contender series fight by not being good enough at striking gets a striker in his debut and is not good enough to strike with him. I don't know what they want. I'm glad Klein got to fight anyway.
Yep. And then in the opener, we got this wrong. Things did not start good that way. Look, Radzhabov looked really good against Abdul Karim El-Sawadi, who reverted back to the old version of him, the not as good version of him, who gets hit too often. That's what happened last night. Got himself hit too often, ended up getting knocked out in the third round, 49 seconds into it. He seemed to be getting better as the fight went on, and then he got himself knocked out, and we didn't start the night off on the right foot.
Yeah, he had the judges' scorecards on all three in the second round. So, yeah, he definitely lost the first round, definitely won the second round. It was coming down to the third round. I thought he had all the momentum. I originally had El Sawadi by decision. It really looked like that was coming to fruition. And, you know, sort of to your point on the other one, it was kind of a glancing blow or like one of those behind-the-ear blows that caught him. I mean, props to Luke Radzibov. For anybody who picked him, that was a great handicap just because he's got the power to change the fight at any time. But I really thought that El Sawadi had all the pieces going at the right time. He was even hitting his own takedowns on Radzibov. Like, he looked really good in there right up until the minute he got hit, which is kind of a bummer. I think he'll be back, though. He put together a really good performance against George Hardwick. He was in the middle of a good performance here. I think we'll see him in against a little bit lower a competition, because this was a big ask right out the gate. Guy who's been in the PFL finals twice, you get him in your UFC debut. So I think he's going to get, you know, like a contender series guy or something in his next fight, and he's just going to steamroll him. So don't write off Sawadi yet.
Well, maybe he should stop talking to you on your other podcast, and maybe he'd have more success. That's what I got to say about that. We both went 7-4.
I'm in Zahabi talk to me, and he pulled off one of the most massive upsets of the year. So, you know.
Yep. Yep. All right. We both went 7-4, which is good, but I lost 135. Gumby lost $59, but no one bets $100 in every fight. On the year, we're both at 56%. We both have the exact same record, but Gumby's only down 7% of his money, and I'm down 11%. Boy, nothing but red when I look at our locks, dogs, props, and
rough night.
Rough night for that. Don't even need to go through it. But we missed on everything. Our locks, our dogs, our props, and our parlays. So no good there.
Focus on Rosenstrike.
Yeah, please. Vinicius Oliveira and Bernardo Sopai won fight of the night. Usyk Oliveira won performance of the night. So double dipping for Usyk. They kept trying to sell us on a fight night in 2 weeks, but no, in between then we have a UFC pay-per-view. UFC 299 O'Malley versus Vera to Kaseya Center, Miami, Florida, next Saturday night. We'll run through the card quickly and we'll get out of here. All right, the pay-per-view portion, the portion they want us to pay for, O'Malley versus Vera, Sean O'Malley, Marlon Vera, Bantamweight Championship, Dustin Poirier, Benoit St. Denis, Kevin Holland, Michael Venom Page, Gilbert Burns, Jack Della Maddalena, Piotr Jan Song Yadong. That's a pretty solid pay-per-view right there. Prelims, Curtis Blaydes, Jilton Almeida. That's fantastic. Caitlin Sir, see, she got an even harder name to say. Sermonera, a.k.a. Chukagian versus Macy Barber. Oh, your favorite's coming back. Wow, and she's on a roll,
too. The future.
The future is here. Future's now. Matias Gamrot, Rafael Dos Anjos, Pedro Munoz, Kyler Phillips. Another very solid prelim portion. Early prelims, Jan Kudalaba, Felipe Lins, Michelle Pereira, Michael Olasechuk, Robles Despagne. Oh, this guy's exciting. Wait till you see the bad boy in action. He's fighting Josh Parisian. Oh, he's going to get to shine in this fight. CJ Vergara, Asu Almabayev, Joanne Wood, Marina Moroz. What a fight card, Gumby.
Yeah, and the thing that sticks out to me the most about this fight card and the most exciting part of that is like so much of it, and I talk about this all the time, is like a good fight answers a question. And like all of these fights are like, will you get out of the way for my ascent to the top? You know, like, will this veteran move aside for the young gun? You know, you could say that about Song Yadong, Piotr Jan. You could say that about JDM versus Gilbert Burns. You could say that about Benoit St. Denis versus Poirier. You could say that about Jilton Almeida versus Curtis Blaydes. Like, you could say that about Caitlin Sermonara versus Macy Barber. It's like all of these people who are like stalwarts at the top of their division and like the person set to replace them in that spot up against them. It's like very exciting to see a fight card built like that.
Yeah, Gamrot, Dos Anjos, Phillips, Munoz.
Yeah.
Gamrot's old. He's 33, but still, he's on his way up still. Yeah, you're right. And then the bad boy versus Josh Parisian as well. He can take Parisian's
spot.
Yeah,
can he take Parisian's spot?
Hopefully he can do more than that.
The stalwart that Parisian is. Hey, did you see, just before we go, I have to say this before we leave, that Chase Sherman won by knockout in a bare-knuckle MMA fight last night.
No way. No, I didn't see it. Game Brad, was he fighting it?
Yeah, he fought out Alex Nicholson, who maybe has a questionable past, and we definitely would have rooted for the Vanilla Gorilla. So shout out to the Vanilla Gorilla today.
Vanilla Gorilla putting a stop to racism. Good to see. Good to hear, I mean. All right, that's it for us. We're going to be back tomorrow. It's regional episode. LFA's got a big fight card we're going to talk about tomorrow. In the meantime, you can catch us in the Discord, unless your name is Ryan H., in which case you cannot catch us in the Discord. Actually, he can still read but not post. Is that what it is? Or
it seems like he can read a little bit, not post, yep. And he can send DMs. Me and him were chatting during the fights anyway. He actually, you know, shout out to him. He had a big lock dog in the third round at like 12 or 13 or something like that.
Lock dog. All right, so catch us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Catch us on Twitter, SGPNMMA, Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer. I'm also Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram. Catch us on YouTube, as we said. Keep subscribing, keep commenting, keep enjoying our videos, hopefully. Catch Gumby at Top Turtle MMA Podcast. More about that in upcoming episodes. Catch me at moneymma.substack.com. If you're interested in what Cage Warriors fighters make, I'll be posting that very, very shortly because they fought in California a couple weeks ago. So I got the official info. I'll be posting that as well as my Pick'em contest will be up and running again Monday for the UFC pay-per-view coming up. And catch us, of course, on sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. All right, we're out of here. Back tomorrow. It will be the Snow Leopard, Jeff Fox, and it will be DRV. Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you then. Bye.